1 Corinthians chapter 6. And again, this letter written by the Apostle Paul to the congregation in Corinth, and he addresses a number of serious issues going on in the church and other practical matters in the lives of Christians. And again, I know I've reminded you guys already a number of times that it's important to, again, every once in a while, just remember, you know, Paul's not there, but he's hearing. He was there. He started this fellowship. He started this church. And in a couple of years, he got some letters with some, you know, again, some serious issues going on in the church. But again, it's important to remember the society and the culture that this church was operating in or living in. And then we can kind of more understand why Paul is writing the things he's writing. But what's amazing is that the things that are going on then are going on today in the church for various reasons. And a lot of it is the flesh and the world coming into the church. And a lot of different denominations have gone by the wayside and have now just embraced the world. And again, we're not enemies with the world, so to speak. You know, we're, you know, that's a harvest field, if you will, you know, for the gospel. But there's a separation, and the Bible calls us to a separation. Remember the Lord said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Now again, growing up, I thought holy meant very religious and pious and, you know, all that stuff. That's part of that. But holy means set apart. God has called us to be set apart. And that's why he chose those people in the New Old Testament, his people, to be set apart from everyone else. Now, that didn't mean that others outside the Jewish faith, they could come in under certain circumstances, but he called them to be separate from them. That's why he gave them all these different lifestyle rules and regulations to follow, just like a parent does in their own household. Same thing. But today, God has called us to be set apart, not arrogantly looking down on others. Because again, we point fingers, we got fingers pointed back at us. And so there's a balance. Now, we may not think of it this way, but the Bible, for one, is a love letter from God to man, showing us how much he loves us. You know, we prayed just a little while ago about how, you know, God loves us so much we don't even, we understand, but the total scope, I don't. You know, because a lot of us, there was nothing to love. Nothing to love. Weren't seeking him. Weren't acting like his child. Yet he still seeks those just like that. It's mind-boggling, right? I don't know if some of you, you may remember, maybe not, when you were a kid, and you know, you were on a, you know, you had your own team, whatever you were playing. You know, so two people, they would flip a coin and you get to choose who you wanted first. Then the other person would go choose who you wanted first. And somebody was last, chosen last. They weren't even chosen. Well, you get to go with them. That's terrible to be the last person, right? Now, would we ever choose the worst person first? No. No. But that's what God does. He chooses the worst person on the team to be on his team. And so the Bible is a love letter from God to man. showing how much he truly loved us by sending his son to die for our sins, which allows us, of course, to enter into the kingdom, into eternal life. But secondly, the Bible is also a manual for living as the son and daughter of God. I mean, how do we know the speed limit in Bayonne is 25? Of course, there's signs. This is the way you're supposed to, you know, it's a law. It's the way we're supposed to act. I won't even get into that, but that's a whole nother story. And so God has given us signs to go by and things to go by, but different from the Old Testament, in the sense that now, instead of following him out of obligation, a bunch of rules and regulations, we follow him out of love for him because of the love he has for us. There's a difference. No parent wants their kid just to obey them, just to obey them. They want to obey them out of love for them because they what? Know better. And so the New Testament, though, we think about this, it wasn't written at this time. So the Corinthians didn't have this section of the Bible that we have. You know, there's letters starting to circulate from different people, the Gospels and whatnot, but certainly not what we have. But these letters that were circulating, such as this one, were being written to these different churches, again, about many different things. You know, they didn't have Bible studies, if you will, or Bible school, college, whatever. But let's turn to, before we go into Corinthians, let's turn to the left to, to the right, oh boy, to Galatians. Chapter 5. And we talked about, you know, following rules and regulations, you know, as they did in the Old Testament. And we too, many of us were taught about, you know, following the Ten Commandments, things like that. But Paul, in verse 1 of chapter 5, he sent this letter to the Galatians, the church in Galatia, and he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us," what? Free. Free from what? "And do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage." Okay, they were stuck under all these laws and rules and regulations that all they did was condemn them. The commandments are good because they're God's standards, correct? Yes. But the commandments also condemn us. Why? Because we can't adhere to them 100%. Maybe 10%. And so, Paul, he had taught concerning the idea of freedom in Christ. And one of the great principles to understand in as a Christian is that we are free to do anything we want to do. Now, I'm sure that piqued your interest. And I'm saying a Christian is free to do anything they want to do. You know, and you're... Your flesh may be saying, "Tell me more, tell me more. What can I do?" But the question is, do we want to do anything we want to do? That's the question. Do we want to do anything we want to do? No, we don't want to do anything we want to do. There's things I want to do I can't do and shouldn't do. There's things we think about doing we shouldn't even think about doing what we want to do. And that covers a whole wide range of things. You know, you may want to put somebody's lights out, if you know what I mean. We can do it, but it's not, you know, something we should want to do. But we're going to get into this a little bit. But as a forgiven Christian, we are free to live however we want. But at the same time, if one is truly a believer in God, then one wants to please God in everything we do. So there it is. And again, the point is we're to live in obedience to God, not because we have to, but because we want to. Are we always obedient to God? Hello?
No.
It's not a question. We're not always obedient. But that's a good thing to acknowledge that. Because we know we have somewhere to go and confess our sins when we are disobedient. But we are so grateful to God for forgiving us our sins that we want to live a life that's pleasing to Him. So the question becomes, how much do you want? And who do we desire to please? Ourselves, our friends, or God? Of course, the Lord. You know, at one time we were totally about pleasing ourselves. Totally. And we just looked at a scripture in John in Wednesday night Bible study. I forget the exact scripture, but it talks about, you know, people that you used to run with, you know what I mean? I'm talking about run with, you know, the crowd. You're running with the crowd and doing whatever's going on. He says, those that you used to run with think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. And that's a good sign. Because we don't want to be pleasing to ourselves or to others. Back in Corinthians, that's why Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. So he's saying, all things are lawful for me, but not all things will help me or benefit me. And then he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So Paul knows the danger of giving ourselves over to anything we want to do. In that, we can wind up being what? Mastered by it. Or become a slave to it. You know, no one starts off wanting to be a drunk, not wanting to be addicted to some drug. You know, the danger is that some things in life are never totally satisfying, and we desire more and more and more. And we can end up being a slave to that thing. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13, he says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. You've been called to freedom. Only do not use liberty or freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but use the freedom, right? But through love, serve one another. Right? We live in a free country, correct?
Yes.
But yet, do we have the freedom to do anything we want to do? No. Right? But we do have the freedom, but there's consequences to that freedom when we break that. So with that said, in Corinthians, the Corinthians were applying that freedom to sexual activities. Thinking that since God gave us, they had this rationale, that God gave us many different foods to enjoy and fill our stomachs with, likewise, he created our bodies and our sexual desires. So there's nothing wrong with using our bodies to fulfill those desires any way we want, they're thinking. They're thinking it's just, we're just meeting a physical need just like we do when we eat food. And their thinking was, what I do with my body has no impact on spiritual life. And yes, God did give us stomachs and foods to enjoy. And he did give us bodies and sexual drives. But as Paul's going to show, you can't compare the two. They're two different things. And again, going back to what I said in the beginning, you know, in the city of Corinth, it was a very sensual, sexual city, among other things. You know, it was a Roman temple to a goddess, you know, where there were prostitutes there at this. And men would go there. And it would be, you know, have that relation, sexual relation, as an act of worship to this God. And so you have people coming out of that in Corinth becoming Christians. But there's still some things they have to reprogram. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is why Paul tells them food's for the stomach. Food is for the stomach, and stomach is for foods. But God will both destroy it and them. Okay, interesting. Paul's saying yes to them. The food and the stomach are made for each other, and you can eat whatever you want. Remember, because, you know, again, they were talking about different freedoms. Jewish people couldn't eat whatever they want, could they? No, they were restricted. But then when Jesus came on the scene, things changed. The law, that law no longer really applied. If you don't want to eat, you don't have to. But you can eat, right? He said to Peter, right? Eat. And so there was a lot of reprogramming going on with people. And so he's saying you can eat whatever you want, but remember, he says, they are temporary, food in the stomach, and God will do away with both of them. What do you mean, do away with both of them? In the sense that one day we will no longer have to satisfy that need for food, even though we're going to have bodies, right? When we leave this earth, we will have resurrected bodies. Okay, but we will be able to eat just like Jesus did after his resurrection. Remember when he, after his resurrection, before he ascended, he came back and he spoke to the apostles and everyone, and they gave him some what? Fish. He had a resurrected, glorified body. So we will have bodies, and somehow we will be able to eat. It talks about in the scriptures about sitting at the table that God has prepared, and he's going to serve us. Imagine that. And so we're going to have resurrected bodies, but that system God created for food sustaining us will no longer exist. Let's read verse 13 again. Food is for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will both destroy it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And so the sexual drive is also a basic human need, but it can be misused to our detriment. And again, people in Corinth back then, as they are today, were viewing sex as just another thing in life to enjoy to the fullest extent. And today, we know this. I don't have to tell you guys this. And we're all adults. You know, just about everything is sex-driven today, between TV ads, magazines, internet, music, clothing, society and the media have cheapened and devalued a beautiful God-given union between two people. That relationship that God created, they've cheapened it and devalued it to be nothing more than a physical act. And that appeals to our sinful nature. We still walk around in these fleshly bodies that still have desires and things that we have to deal with sometimes. And some people even mock others who want to wait till they get married. They're mocked, made fun of. You know, we see the world is not a friendly place to those who are trying to live a godly life. It's not a friendly place. And I'm not just talking about sex. It's not a friendly place. And so Paul is telling the Corinthians, saying, yes, God did create our bodies, but it wasn't just to satisfy our sexual desires however, whenever, or with whoever we want. Paul says, no, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. What's he mean? Well, of course God made our physical bodies for innumerable earthly reasons. But a higher reason for our bodies, Paul says, is for the Lord, meaning that we could be used, our bodies can be used by God for his purposes. As he wants us to do his will through us, how? How do we use our bodies to serve the Lord? Loving others, serving others, teaching others, evangelism, serving in church, whatever. So we use our bodies for him, our hands, our feet, our mouthpiece. Let's go to the left into Romans chapter 13. Chapter 6, verse 13. And here, Paul is writing to another church in Rome. You think Rome was a godly city? But where do we want a church? In where there's no sinners or where there's a lot of sinners? Anyway, chapter 6 of Romans, verse 13. Let's go to verse 12. Now we could do the whole chapter, but therefore, do not sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. He's not writing to people in a club or a bar. He's writing to a church. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts, and do not present your members, you know, your members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Right? It's incredible. Now, is another reason for our bodies, which we tend to forget. And that is for our bodies to be a dwelling place for Him and the Holy Spirit. Right? God created our bodies to be a place for the Holy Spirit to dwell. Because again, when Jesus, He had to ascend into heaven because He couldn't be in His fleshly body everywhere at once for everyone, could He? No, He couldn't do that. How's He going to be there for everybody? But He ascended into heaven and He sent what? The Holy Spirit that came upon them on the day of Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit is to come into our bodies. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians, but chapter 3. And we covered this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And Paul writes, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" He says, do you know that? Do we know that? Do we know that? Now, let's go to the left till we come to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And again, this is before Jesus' ascension that I just spoke about. And He told the disciples that He was going to send the Holy Spirit. And so in Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16, and He says, "And I will pray," or pray to the Father, "and He will give you another helper that He may abide," or live, "with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells within you and will be in you." Okay, so God comes upon us, you know, when He first comes into our lives. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that comes in. He dwells with you and will be in you. One more. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. To the right of John, Acts and Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. And Paul writes again, "So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God," what? "Dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." Okay, verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Right? Over and over and over, He's talking about the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And there's going to be more at the end of the chapter. But so back in Corinthians, we get ready to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul also says that the Lord is for the body. We talked about it this morning. We prayed about it. Who gave us our breath this morning? The Lord. Who gave us our heartbeats? Who keeps our heartbeats? I forgot the number already, but it's incredible. I don't, How many times your heart beats every day? It's in the thousands. And we don't even think about that. Have nothing to do with it. But who is the originator of that, our first heartbeat? It wasn't evolution. It was God. The Lord is for the body. We need God more than anything because he's the source of our life, both physical and eternal. And again, our very breaths. How many breaths do we take every day? We depend on that. And of course, our salvation, we depend on him. And Paul, he's going to speak about, God willing, next week, our bodily resurrection, his bodily resurrection, you know, our future one. And he's going to talk about how our bodies also have an eternal purpose. And again, the reason why he's talking about these things, because he's going back to the Corinthians, using their bodies like, you know, like the world does. It's like, listen, this is not good. And if you remember, back a couple chapters, it all started with, there was somebody in the congregation that was sleeping with his father's wife, which was his stepmother. And everybody was okay with it. So he's got a lot of stuff to straighten out. But again, a lot of this stuff is so relevant for today because of the sexual explosion, if you will. Just in the past, what, 60 years, something like that? Maybe a little more? It's just off the charts. And now with the internet, man. And so many things that are good, and man turns it into evil with the help of the enemy. But again, as we close, you know, God's reminding us through his word that, you know, and I know sometimes I get up, I don't feel like the Holy Spirit's in me. It's hard to get out of bed sometimes. But he does. He dwells in us. And that's what the Holy Spirit gets us going. In the morning, to come here or wherever, you know, to be with him, to be with others. You know, because we want to, again, be pleasing to him. And again, I've said this many times recently. I think of this time, it's only like an hour, but it's like an oasis. You know? It's so dry out there, so dark. I mean, there's a lot of good things in life, but as a whole, ay. Lynn was telling me, you know, they were away with Corey and Mary Ellen, and they were, you know, out in the woods, you know, just away from everything. She said, no TV. And I know some people, they live up in Rhode Island. They've raised their kids with no TV. Imagine that. I mean, they're not Amish or anything, but they just don't, you know. But, you know, we need the Holy Spirit. As much as we, you know, feel God's presence and his word and to worship, you know, we need him out there even more, don't we? You know, really. Even more. Way more. You know, so there's different ways to stay close, you know, his word. You know, I'm not in my car much, so I don't listen to Christian radio or anything like that, but, you know, a lot of people are, and they do. Different different ways to stay in touch with the Lord every day, you know, and be fed, you know. It's not enough to eat once a week, is it? No. God forbid. But same thing with spiritual food. It's not enough just Sunday.